So according to Mark's account of what it's like when Jesus gets dunked, baptism is no picnic. I mean, there's the nice part, right, where God speaks and claims Jesus as beloved. That part's all well and good. But did you catch what happens right after that? The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty to love about baptism. I mean, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. Aside from communion, there's literally nothing else that we know of that offers benefits like that. But Jesus' baptism seems to come with some consequences too. The Spirit grabs hold of him and immediately drives him out into the wilderness where he is met by Satan. And remember, when it says that the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness, it's not like Jesus needed a ride, so the Spirit was good enough to let him carpool. No, Jesus is being driven, like in the sense of driving cattle, driven with the violent undertones of a horse whip or a cattle prod being used on uncooperative livestock. That's the kind of driving that the Spirit is doing here. There's this clear sense that Jesus is being directed, herded even towards something. And really, we have this sense about our baptisms too, although we tend to tone it down a bit. The language we're more likely to use is around baptism is that it comes with a calling, right? Which is a more pleasant way all around to think about it. It paints a much nicer picture where you just walk out into the field and call the cows, and they just come happily trotting up to where you want them. But of course, that assumes that the ones being called are, first of all, listening, and second, inclined to heed that call. I'm not sure that we are always that cooperative, that willing to give up our agenda for the sake of answering the calling of our baptism. At least I can be pretty stubborn. Just this week, my wife was calling me out because I asked her opinion about something and then went on and did what I had already decided that I was going to do, even though I asked her and she said something different, right? That's me. I'm pretty stubborn, and I'm thinking maybe that's some of you sometimes too. So I think, at least sometimes, we need to be more than invited. We need to be more than called. Maybe sometimes when it comes to God's will for our lives, we need to be driven, coerced, forced towards God's preferred future for us. The Spirit certainly doesn't seem to give Jesus a choice in this whole wilderness business. And yet, as unpleasant as 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan sounds to me, Jesus comes out of there with stunning clarity. Up to this point, as far as we know in the way that Mark tells the gospel story, there is no ministry of Jesus at all, at least not any that Mark thinks is worth telling us about. But after his baptism and this wilderness stay that the Spirit has driven Jesus to, all of a sudden Jesus has a mission and a ministry. He comes to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." All of a sudden, in the way that Mark tells it, Jesus' ministry takes hold. Now, we don't know for sure, but do you suppose that this baptism and then the Spirit driving him into the wilderness had something to do with that? It happens immediately after it. It makes me think that we could use that kind of drive sometimes in our Christian journey. Because it's pretty clear, Jesus speaks with no qualms about what we're supposed to be doing. Repenting, right? turning, changing, because of the fact that the kingdom of God has come near. And on my own, I'm not always cooperative when it comes to changing my behavior for the sake of the kingdom. Maybe we do need some of that more aggressive prodding of the Spirit. Because Jesus says that the kingdom has come near, even if it doesn't seem like it. Even if we continue to see the brokenness all over the headlines. I mean, another school shooting this week. 17 slain at school and at work. Lord, have mercy. Drive us to action, Lord, because something has to change. Prod us into sorrow and anger, yes, Lord. But prod us beyond that to do something about this situation, because it is not okay for us to become used to this. It is not okay for this to become the normal for us. Coming from these dark places, it's hard to see that the kingdom is near. I can admit that. But this is precisely what Jesus announces. Fresh from his own brush with darkness, with very Satan in the wilderness, what does Jesus come out saying? The kingdom of God has come near. Because contrary to a meme that I've seen circulating on social media this week, God most certainly was in that school in Florida this week, as if some policy could keep God out. God was there with the students who were scared. God was there with the students and the faculty who acted to save others. God was there with the students who were hurting and dying. God was there holding them, weeping for their pain. God was there loving and mourning every person who was killed and every person whose life was forever altered. God was in it. And God is not okay with this crap continuing to happen over and over again. There's no way. Which is why God has decided to do something about the power of sin and death. God's answer to sin and death is the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has begun already to usher in the kingdom of God. And this kingdom has drawn near. This kingdom where sin and death's defeat is made fully visible. The kingdom where mourning and crying and pain are no more. The kingdom in which death has been swallowed up forever. This is the kingdom that Jesus announces. This is the good news that in Jesus Christ there is life. But this is not an invitation by Jesus to sit back and relax because God's going to eventually clean up this mess. It's the opposite of that. Because the kingdom has come near, we have work to do. Jesus is really clear about what that work is. Repent and believe in the good news. Repent. Which means, turn around, get off of the destructive path you've been walking, and turn back to God. The calling of our baptism, the calling that we sometimes might need to be prodded into, is to lean in to the coming of this kingdom. When I say lean in, what I mean is to use our time on this earth both pointing to and working for the kingdom that has drawn near. And this starts with ourselves, right? Eternally. Internally, I should say. It starts with ourselves. But it moves beyond ourselves, too. God is not content with the state of this world. And God has done something about it in Jesus Christ, who in the fullness of time will usher in the fullness of that kingdom in which all things are made new. But until that day comes, we have some work to do. God's not content with the status quo, but it really seems like we are. Are we content to let these mass shootings happen over and over and over again? Or will we do something? Will we confess that we are not on the right path and turn around? Will we repent with our voices, our votes, our lives, and do something about it? Send your Holy Spirit, Lord. Drive us, prod us, corral us into repentance. Turn us from our complacency with sin and death to instead work for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.